Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium, and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to restful sleep, kids' health to active aging. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 15 to see what feeling super is all about. I'm Dora Walsh, nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems such as obesity, low immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, out of control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important developments that can really aid us in our quest for health, energy, and longevity. This week, we're talking about the 5 easy diet changes that can make a difference. As a nutritionist, I regularly get asked, what should I eat? And people tell me they just don't know what to eat or how to eat or the times to eat, etc. There are so many questions around food and people are always interested. These are some of the top questions I get asked other than how can I lose weight, which is a big one. In fact, that all these questions connect together. And maybe you're wondering what to put on your plate, what's healthy and what isn't, and what guidelines you should be following. It seems to be true that we are largely a nation that doesn't know how or what to eat. Yet healthy nutrition is the foundation for our health. Eating well can contribute to the normal functioning of our immune system and our well-being. It's something that we should all be learning at school and carrying through into adulthood. I was lucky to learn it when I was studying nutrition, and my aim has always been to spread the message further. Here to help me today is Lissa Leader, registered nutritionist and registered nutritional therapy practitioner, CNHC, and the founder and director of NutriLeader Limited. Lissa has been practicing since 2017 and focuses on taking the stress out of eating well by making good nutrition straightforward and accessible to all. She provides individual consultations, group nutrition programs, and employee well-being services for corporate clients. In addition, Lissa has previously worked at OptiBac Probiotics, providing practitioner education on all things microbiome related, and for a Hungarian health tech company, where she advised on nutrition content and created blog articles. You can find out more about Lissa Leader on LinkedIn. Remember, her name is spelt with a double S. It's not Lisa, it's Lissa, L-I-S-S-A. Find her on LinkedIn. You can also follow her on Instagram at NutriLeader. And you can email her on lissa@nutrileader.co.uk. Is it okay to your email out there, Lissa?
Absolutely, yes, please do.
If anyone has any inquiries on her nutritional services, she's an amazing practitioner. Welcome to the show, Lissa. It's great to have you talking with us about the 5 easy diet changes that can make a difference. It's a really important topic. As I mentioned, we seem to be a nation that doesn't know how to eat on. We're confused about the guidelines. We don't know how our plate should look, what should be on it, and how it can make a difference to our health. But before we get into that really important topic, tell us how you came to be interested in nutrition and health.
Well, firstly, thank you, Dora, for having me on your show. It's great to be here today. And yes, I mean, nutrition is a real passion of mine, so much so that I turned it into a profession. But I didn't always work in nutrition. So I first started working in advertising and media, both UK and internationally based. And that meant that I was in quite a stress. It was a very stressful job, long hours. I enjoyed it when I was younger, but as I was approaching my 40s, I thought I was getting quite tired. I noticed I was also getting quite run down as well. It was quite used all the time. I felt that was normal. So there was always that sort of suboptimal well-being that I experienced for much of the time. And I spent countless hours on a plane as well. I was always traveling, often sort of picking up little bugs here and there. Skin wasn't great. Energy wasn't great. And I actually sought the help of a nutritional therapist myself for sort of low energy and a recurrent skin complaint that I had at the time. And I felt that her approach was quite transformative. And then that meant that my interest in nutrition was really peaked, and I became a firm believer of we are what we eat, essentially. You know, what we're putting in our bodies is very reflective of our outer health. And once I'd started eating well, it really helped my energy levels. It also really helped my skin, and the recurrent skin problems I'd had cleared up. But then I realized that I can't, it's all very well me trying to eat well, but equally, but there I was flying around all over the place, quite literally, and working in quite a stressful profession. And I thought, you know, I need to make a change here. So the change for me was to completely change career, because I'd had a very good experience with nutrition and visiting a nutritional therapist. It made me want to become one myself. So in my early 40s, I went back to college, to the College of Naturopathic Medicine, and retrained for 3 years. And then I've been in practice all the last 8 years, and I absolutely love it. It's a great profession to be in, very rewarding, and it's really quite lovely to be able to help people in the same way as I was helped all those years ago.
Your story is much the same as mine. What skin condition were you suffering from? Was it eczema or acne, psoriasis?
It was a sporadic acne, and I think a lot of that was to do with stress and just trying to grab food on the go. And I was often abroad, so it was very difficult to try and maintain a healthy diet and a consistent eating pattern. Sometimes I had jet lag. So all of these things added up. It wasn't really surprising to getting a bit of bloating, getting poor skin, having bad energy, just as I say, feeling tired all the time. And I think the concerning thing with that is that you don't necessarily know that you're tired all the time until you stop doing what you were doing. You know, as soon as I got out of that profession and then ended up doing what I'm doing now, I realized how tired I actually was for about 10 years, and thinking that was normal, which isn't good. So something I'm quite passionate about now I'm a nutritionist, is to make sure that people really are supporting their energy and that they're trying to get good sleep, and trying to recognize what their body is telling them. We ignore it so often, and then we end up getting quite ill as a result. And that was me, definitely, always having the tiredness, not having a lot of energy, and it manifesting in me having bad skin at the time.
Great that you turned your health around through nutritional therapy, better lifestyle.
Yes.
Tell us about whether you have any group programs coming up this year.
I do, actually. I've got a program called Energy 21, and that's going to be starting on Monday, the 20th of October. And essentially what this is a fun, interactive group nutrition program, and it provides 21 days of stress-free nutrition. And it's aimed to help you feel energized and give your well-being a helping hand as we head towards the winter.
Do you tell people what to eat for their different meals?
Yes, the program provides easy breakfast, lunch and dinner recipes, so it's all laid out for you. You get daily nutrition tips direct to your inbox. I send you these on a Monday to Friday. Of course, I will leave people alone at the weekend to enjoy themselves. They don't want to hear from me on a Saturday and Sunday. You'll also get full live online sessions with me, and you get support from like-minded people who share your goals, because this is a group program. So Energy 21's ideal if you're feeling tired and sluggish, or maybe you just want to get the spring back in your step, ready for the festive season, which of course is going to be here before we know it.
Remind us when it starts again.
It starts on Monday, the 20th of October. And if anyone wants to join the program, or if they want to find out more, please do head to my website. It's nutrileader.co.uk/energy21, or they can email me at lisa@nutrileader.co.uk.
For listeners, please do remember that it's Lisa, not Lisa. So Lisa is spelled Lissa, and then it's at nutrileader.co.uk. About the 5 easy diet changes that can make a difference. Now, I know you're working with adults, aren't you, Lisa? So this advice is,
yes,
good general advice, but it's really for kids. I mean, this is general advice, but we're not targeting the show at kids. That's just a little message I'm putting out there. Is that the right thing to say?
Yes. And the reason I tend to work with adults is I live in London. I practice in Southwest London and also in Central London. And most of the time I'm working with clients, and this is what these tips are built around, who were very similar to me. You know, they want good nutrition, but they need it to be stress-free, and they need it to be accessible and to fit in with a busy life. So obviously that doesn't necessarily relate to children, it relates more to adults. You know, they might be working full time, they might be full time parents, but by nature of the fact that they're living in the city and juggling sort of multiple plates means that they need nutrition to be easy. So everything I center my work around is to make nutrition stress-free and accessible and not make it too daunting. Sometimes we can find that when we look at healthy eating or when we think about healthy eating, we think it's going to be a real chore and something that's difficult to maintain. So my mantra, if you like, with nutrition is to say it's not difficult. Let's make it as easy as possible. Let's have a few easy wins where we can with nutrition. And then that helps to engender longer term healthy eating pattern when it doesn't feel too difficult.
Yeah, you're so right. What's number one on your list of the key easy diet changes that can make a difference, Lisa?
Okay, well, I haven't ranked these in order. I'm just going to give you sort of five things I always say to my clients. So no one is necessarily more important than the other, I would say, but they all fit quite synergistically together. But just before I talk about the first one, I think that the key message I want to get across is that a few simple tweaks can make a real difference. So you don't have to completely overhaul your diet, because I think if we try and overhaul our diet all at once, it can become very overwhelming and it can actually become quite stressful in itself. What we want to be doing is making nutrition stress-free and very easily accessible. So, no, make a few simple tweaks, which is what these 5 points are. And I always also like to say to people, start gradually when you introduce changes. So you don't have to do everything at once. You know, perhaps start with one of the things I'm going to suggest. Do it for a couple of weeks until it becomes habitual, and then introduce another one. So what we want to do is make sure that we're in having a long-term healthy eating pattern. So therefore, it might take a little bit of time to make the changes rather than having to do everything at the same time. So the first thing I often say to people is think about the variety in your diet. We so often get stuck in a food rut and we tend to buy the same things each week at the supermarket. We tend to make the same recipes. So something really simple is to buy a new cookbook. You know, that can really help. You know, just to give you some inspiration to cook something different. Because if we have a greater variety of foods in our diet, it means that we're going to be exposed to a broader range of nutrients. And if we can have more variety and also more colour as well, there's a lot you've probably read about. We talk about eating a rainbow, and it's something that nutritionists do like to talk about a lot. The reason for that is that if we have as many different colours in our diet, it means that we're getting a different range of nutrients. So, for example, if you were eating orange vegetables, they're quite high in vitamin A, which is great for skin, as I remember it well, and immunity. Whereas if we're having green vegetables, they're very high in things like folate, vitamin B9, which is good for our cell growth and regeneration. So, you know, there's eating the different colours means that we're getting a different range of nutrients. So just think broader variety of food, broader range of colours, and then that really gives you the best chance to get more nutrients from your food.
What kind of vegetables do you like? Do you rotate all the time?
I tend to do is think about, partly because it's practical, and also it depends how people shop as well. If people tend to shop on a daily basis or whether they tend to shop on a weekly basis. So I often think about my colours across the week. You know, I try and get as many different colours in as I can throughout the day, but I'll try and get as many different colours across the week. I tend to shop on a weekly basis as well. So if I get to sort of maybe Wednesday and think, oh, I've had quite a green week actually so far, which of course is no bad thing. Now, perhaps I'll make sure that I get in a few different colours. So it might be something simple like I've got a green pepper in the fridge. I'll use a yellow one instead. And then just changing the colour is going to change that nutrient profile slightly. So I make sure that I also have quite a lot of frozen fruits and vegetables in the freezer as well, so that if I haven't got anything fresh in the house, I have got something else that I can fall back on there. And I do often get asked, and I'm sure you do as well, Dora, you know, are frozen fruits and vegetables good for you? You know, should we be buying the fresh variety? You know, often the nutrient profile of frozen vegetables can sometimes be higher than fresh vegetables because they're picked and frozen at source. So if we've got a good stall, different coloured frozen fruits and vegetables in the freezer, it means that we've always got access to those healthy ingredients and that variety of colour in the diet.
I love frozen, and people are really dismayed when they hear that, but I love keeping frozen berries in the fridge. This morning I made a smoothie with frozen raspberries, almond milk, collagen powder, and it was absolutely delicious. And I added oats to it. So my raspberries are going to give me that lovely vitamin C and the fiber, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And also blueberries are great being frozen. Blueberries are quite expensive as well. You've also got to think about the sort of cost of living at the moment, and food is expensive. And frozen fruits and vegetables tend to be a little bit cheaper as well. And of course, they'll last for longer. So yeah, it's a really cost-effective way buying your fruits and vegetables.
I get all those different colours in my freezer, Lisa, because the fresh ones, they seem to go mouldy in a day or two.
Yes, yeah.
You have to eat them very quickly, and really I like them to last throughout the week. So it's really good to have like a mixture of colours, some in the fridge. There's some things that last longer in the fridge, and that's fine, because carrots seem to last for ages, don't they? Celery.
They do.
And I think it's 2 weeks in there.
I think I've had a bag in there for a couple of weeks as well, and they look fine to me.
I'm wondering, are they losing nutritional value? But they seem okay. So yeah, there's some things that seem to keep very well, but with the berries, they're great in the freezer and colourful and full of nutrients.
Absolutely. So I do say to people, make friends with frozen fruits and vegetables, because they're more cost effective. Minimal food waste as well. If you've got more frozen stuff in your freezer, you obviously don't have to throw those out. You know, we've all done it where we've got a bag of salad or something sat in our fridge, and then we get it out and it's gone mouldy and limp. Whereas if you've got some of the frozen stuff in your freezer, then it'll keep for longer. So it also helps to save money and sort of keep the cost of buying fruits and vegetables down.
Yeah. You mentioned variety and colour. You mentioned you like to vary your colours, not too much green, not too much red. And the variety. Do you have more fruits than you have vegetables? How do you vary that in the week?
I generally say to people, try and keep your ratio of vegetables slightly higher than fruits. Great. But sometimes I'll see a client and they'll say, oh, I hit my five a day. And you delve a bit deeper into what that is. And they'll say, I've had an apple, a banana, a kiwi, some apricots and some grapes. And you think, okay, well, where are the vegetables there? So I do try to make sure that my ratio of vegetables is higher to fruit. But I do always have a couple of fruits in there too, partly for the nutrient value and the fiber. And going back to what I was saying earlier about variety. So rather than just having vegetables, just having fruit, and make sure you have a good mix of both and try to keep the ratio of vegetables slightly higher to fruit on a daily basis.
Yeah, maybe 3-2 is something like that, or 4-1.
Yes, yeah. So that's what I try to do, sort of 3-2, 4-1, because obviously we don't want to be getting too much fruit. Whilst it is good for us, if we have too much of it, can sort of spike the blood sugar a little bit, which maybe leads me quite nicely on to point number two there, actually.
Yeah, let's talk about sugar, because, yeah, fruit is quite high in sugar, but let's talk about sugar in general.
Yes.
What are your
So my second point, I usually say to my clients, is just be mindful of your sugar and try to eat less of it, because it creeps into so many things without us even realizing it. So as a general rule, the NHS recommends this as well, we should be eating no more than 7 level teaspoons a day as adults. So that's the equivalent of 30 grams. And okay, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about trying that. It's quite good sometimes to think about your nutrition across the week. So think about the variety of foods you're having throughout the week, the colours you're having throughout the week, and also with sugar as well. Because let's face it, in real life, we might blow that 7 level teaspoons out of the water on one day if we go to a friend's birthday and they give you a slice of cake. Have the cake, enjoy it, just don't have it every day. So maybe you can rein it back in, certainly the next few days, if you have one day where you might go over the 7 level teaspoons. But it's just about being a bit more mindful about sugar and realizing that lots of foods contain sugar without perhaps us even realizing it. So it's a very good idea to get into the habit of reading food labels, the traffic light system on food labels in the UK. So anything, as a general rule, anything over 22.5 grams of sugar per 100 grams is considered a high sugar food. So that'll be obviously red in the traffic light labelling that we have on food packaging. And no sugar food is anything that's less than 5 grams of sugar per 100 grams. So if we're buying food that has sort of added ingredients in it, if it's not fresh vegetables or grains, for example, if it's slightly processed, please do look in labelling on the packet and just double check that it isn't too high in sugar. And then the other thing to be aware of as well is that, yes, there's a trend for using perhaps honey or date syrup, agave nectar, because they're not processed like that white sugar that you can get. But they might be natural, but essentially they're still sugar, you know, so they're still going to have the same effect on the body as if you were having sugar. So when I talk about having the equivalent of a maximum of 7 level teaspoons a day of sugar, included within that are things like the honey and the dates or the agave nectar, because they have the same effect on the body.
Yes.
And then, and then just going back to what I was saying about the fruit, as we were saying, not having too much fruit in a day, do need to be aware that fruit is also very good for us, because the sugars it contains are natural sugars, but they also contain fiber and water and lots of different nutrients. A lot of them have vitamin C in them, a lot of vitamin C, which is good for our immune system. What I often say to clients is try to eat the whole fruit rather than relying on juices. Now, if we have an unsweetened natural fruit juice, it does count as one of our 5 a day. But a serving size of fruit juice should be 150 milliliters, ideally. And 150 milliliters is a small glass, and people often have a lot more than that. So rather than, you know, make it sort of an occasional treat, I would say, but don't have a daily fruit juice. I'd probably say better to eat the whole fruit instead. And then you're also getting the benefit of the fiber and the nutrients in their best form by eating the fruit in its pure state.
Yeah, because I guess when we're juicing it, you are processing it in some way. I guess even if you're juicing at home, when I juice at home, Lisa, I like to grab some of the pulp and stick it back into the juice.
Great idea,
fiber, and then sometimes I'll add like a load of flax seeds to it just to add more fiber and kind of reduce the sugar hit. But yeah, I mean, too much juice, it definitely does impact our blood sugar quite a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, and it's an interesting point about smoothies as well, because quite often people will make smoothies just with fruit. And going back to what we were just talking about, it's good to have vegetables in there too. You know, so don't just rely purely on fruit. Spinach is often a good one, I find, in smoothies, because it's full of water as well, so it juices down quite well. But if we can balance the fruit sugars with some vegetables, maybe carrots or spinach, celery is good as well, then again, we're sort of minimizing the overall sugar load of that smoothie.
We're going to be talking a lot more about easy diet changes that can make a difference to your life with Lisa Leader. She's a nutritional therapist and registered nutritionist. After a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on the Nutrition for Me show. And I'm speaking with Lisa Leader this week. She is a registered nutritionist. You can find her on LinkedIn. Her name is Lisa, L-I-S-S-A, Leader. And you can also follow her on Instagram at NutriLeader or email her if you have inquiry for a nutritional consultation. Her email is lisa@nutrileader.co.uk. And we're talking about the 5 easy diet changes that can make a difference. We've talked about variety in color on the plate and our fruits and vegetables, We've talked about eating less sugar and being mindful about reading the labels and really understanding how much sugar is in there. Is there more than 22.5 grams of sugar? I mean, I've seen some cereals with 65 grams of sugar per 100 grams. Or is it a low sugar product? Be aware of the sugar creeping into your diet, that Lissa's message. Let's talk about other things. What are your thoughts on carbs, Lissa?
Well, that's one of the things I do talk about in terms of the sort of the five straightforward tips we can include in the diet. So as you rightly mentioned, we've talked about variety and colour. We've talked about being mindful of sugar. And one thing I often say to clients is just be aware of your carbs. Now, there's so much confusion around carbs, and I do feel that carbs can be quite, they can get quite a bad rap, to be honest. And we often hear that we shouldn't be eating them, we should be cutting them out. What we need to remember with carbohydrates is that they're one of the three macronutrients the body needs alongside fat and protein. And they're also the body's main source of energy. So if we don't have any carbs at all, it's little wonder that we might start to feel listless and tired without them. So I like to say to my clients, think about choosing the right kind of carbs. So it's not about cutting them out necessarily. It's about eating the right kind. And by that, I mean, there are two types of carbohydrates, essentially. There's simple carbohydrates, and that's things like those refined added sugars, processed foods, white bread, white pasta, white rice, cakes, pastries, biscuits. Now, I'm not saying don't ever eat those because that's not realistic in life, but just keep them to a minimum. And instead, rather than just cutting out carbs completely, reduce the simple carbs and replace them with the complex high-fiber carbohydrates. And the way I often explain the difference between the simple carbs and the complex carbs is that simple carbohydrates will very simply be broken down by the body quickly, and they'll very simply release their energy into the bloodstream. Whereas complex carbohydrates, it's a much more complex procedure for the body to be able to break them down and get the energy it needs from that carbohydrate. So these are things like whole grains, brown rice, brown pasta, brown bread, pulses and beans, fruits and vegetables. So those foods that are higher in fiber, they are a complex kind of carbohydrate. And the beauty about eating these is that because it takes longer for the body to break them down, it means that they're essentially drip feeding their energy into your bloodstream, which means that they're one of those slow release energy foods, and therefore means that your energy will be on a much more even keel for longer. And you'll also feel fuller for longer as well. So though, if we can just be mindful of the kinds of carbohydrates that we're eating, keep the simple ones to a minimum and increase the complex kind as well. Plus, if you're already trying to increase your variety and colour and introduce more colourful fruits and vegetables into your diet, you're also going to be introducing more high fibre and more of those sort of complex carbohydrates that we find in fruits and vegetables.
How much carbs should people be having on the plate? So say they're having a plate and there's some fish or meat on there.
Okay, I'll come on to that actually, because one of my little tips is about portion sizes. But generally speaking, I would say, if you're having a potato, it should be, or a few little potatoes, it shouldn't be any bigger than a fist-sized potato, because you can get those enormous big potatoes, for example. Okay. So a little fist size or a little handful of new potatoes. And then with pasta and rice, ideally the whole grain version, not the white version, I'd say it's the equivalent of two handfuls of the dried pasta or rice, so not cooked. But I'll expand on that a little bit more as we go along.
Yes, we're going to be start watching the portion size. So yeah, but basically you're not a nutritionist to say don't have carbs. You just want to have the right carbs and to know the carbs.
Exactly. So again, we're trying to engender healthy long-term eating habits, and we're not sort of trying to say that carbs are bad or that we should be cutting them out. It's just about eating the right kind, I would say. And if you're looking at things like pulses and beans, lentils and chickpeas, that kind of thing, which are those sort of complex high fiber carbohydrates, they're also a source of protein as well. So things like pulses and beans are very, very good for you on so many levels. They're a source of high fiber. They're a source of complex carbohydrate. They're also a source of plant protein as well. So they kind of tick multiple nutrition boxes in one food group, which is fantastic. And if we can do that, that's fantastic. And again, it makes nutrition easy and accessible and stress-free. So yeah, it's just about making sure you're including more of the high fibrous sort of carbohydrates in your diet and keeping those simple carbs, the cakes and the pastries, and white bread, pasta, etc., processed food, to a minimum.
Do you have the skin on your potatoes, your sweet potatoes or your white potatoes?
I do, yeah. That increases the fibre content quite nicely. And it actually brings me on to my next point quite nicely as well, because another tip I say to people is to make sure that you're trying to eat more fibre, because we should ideally be eating 30 grams of fibre a day, but most people will only eat around 17 to 18 grams. And fibre really helps us to feel fuller for longer, which is good. We're obviously wanting to maintain a healthy weight. It also supports our digestive health. It helps with, you know, going to the toilet regularly and keeping the digestive system working well. And of course, if our digestive system's working well and we're better able to absorb the nutrients from our food, which is again going to help our energy and on our overall well-being. And fibre's been linked to so many different things. So it's been linked to good cardiovascular health as well as good digestive health, been linked to sort of healthy weight maintenance. And there's lots of different reasons why fibre should be included in our diet. But generally speaking, a lot of people don't eat enough of it.
What are your favourite forms of fibre?
Oh, now there's a question. I would say, well, actually, if you're having more of those complex carbohydrates, again, you're kind of ticking multiple boxes there. I do love pulses and beans and chickpeas, lentils, that kind of thing. I tend to veer away from, just because I find wheat is something that I can't eat a lot of it. That was something I identified with my nutritional therapist many years ago. So I just have it in small amounts. So when I'm having things like a bread, I'll go for seed slices instead. So they're made with oat flakes and mixed seeds. I do like nuts. I like unsweetened nut butters. They're a good source of fiber. If I'm having rice, I'll have brown rice. And actually, if I'm having things like a pasta, I'd probably go for something like a red lentil flour pasta or a green pea flour pasta, which again is also high in protein, high in that kind of complex carb as well. So it'll help to keep me fuller for longer. Carry on.
Saying, Lisa, I love the buckwheat pasta. Have you tried that one?
I haven't, but I will. I love buckwheat.
And, you know, buckwheat is just full of phytonutrients.
Yes.
It's full of fiber. Really delicious aftertaste. I can't explain it, but it's almost fragrant, beautiful. And the other source of fiber I like, especially if I need to get my digestion going, because sometimes I get constipated, even as a nutritionist, I love those rye cracker bread. It's just rye and water, and they make them into a cracker bread.
Yes, I know the one.
But I love it with pure butter. I love that. And maybe some almond nut butter. I love that as a source of fiber.
Absolutely. And you know, we can add fiber and quite easily to our daily diet. So you know, even if we did something like, you know, if you had some Greek yogurt and some berries in the morning, chop up a few nuts. That'll give you a bit more protein to keep you feeling fuller for longer. But also, you know, nuts are quite fibrous. Or sprinkle on a dessert spoon of seed. And there's lots of little incidental ways we can get fibre into our diet. And, you know, the important thing as well with fibre, it supports a healthy gut microbiome so that we've got that good bacteria in our gut. And if we've got good bacteria in our gut, it helps our digestion. It also helps our immunity. And when I used to talk all things microbiome when I worked at Optivac, I always used to liken fibre to catnip for gut microbes. No, it's their favourite food. So if you have a lot of fibre, the gut microbes will feed off that and proliferate. And if you've got more good bacteria in your gut, it's going to crowd out any bad bacteria. Because, you know, your digestive tract's only so big, it's quite narrow in there. So if we can get more of the good bacteria living in there, there's no room then for the bad bacteria.
We're going to be talking a lot more with Lisa Leader after a few more messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. And this week we're speaking about the five easy diet changes that can make a difference. We're speaking with Lissa Leader. You can find out more about her on her LinkedIn. Remember, her name is L-I-S-S-A. It's Lissa, not Leader. You can also follow her at NutriLeader or drop her a line if you'd like to have a nutritional consultation at lissa@nutriLeader.co.uk. Lissa, it's so eye-opening to talk about these things. Even though I know about it as a nutritionist, I just love talking about it. So I'm great you're bringing this to our audience on UK Health Radio. Now, we talked about the fiber, the color, the sugar, the carbs. What about that all-important question of portion? You talked a bit about the carb portions, but let's talk about, you know, how that plate should look and what our portions should be. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I get asked quite a lot, you know, what is a portion of fruit and vegetables? And obviously, if you're having a lettuce leaf on a sandwich, and sadly, that isn't a portion of vegetables, and you need to eat a little bit more than that. And again, in my sort of quest to make nutrition stress-free for everybody, some people like to get the scales out and do the weights and measures, but I often find that takes the joy out of eating. And who has time really to measure everything they eat with the scale? So what I often say to people is think about using your hand as a guide to measure your food, because if you use your own hand to measure your own portion, of course, your hand is directly proportional to the size of you. So you know that if you're using your own hand to measure your food, then you're likely getting the right size portion for you personally. So portion sizes are important because we want to make sure that we're getting adequate nutrition that supports and maintains a healthy weight. So we want to make sure we're not having too much to eat, but also we want to make sure we're eating enough, especially when it comes to things like fruits and vegetables. Sometimes we underclub how much a portion of fruits and vegetables is. So to sort of give you some illustrations of that, if you're using a hand to measure your food, when you're thinking about fruit, think about fruit as a handful. So if you're having like an apple or an orange, that's quite a big portion of fruit because one apple or orange will fit into the size of your hand. So that counts as one portion. Whereas if you're having something small, like plums, you probably need two of them to make a handful. You could probably fit two plums into the size of your hand. And then with vegetables, generally speaking, you know, two handfuls is a good portion of vegetables. And as I mentioned earlier, with pasta and rice, and this is the one that people often fall down on, it's two dried handfuls. Now, all too often, if we're cooking a plate of pasta, we'll sprinkle it into the bowl as we think it's going to look when it comes out the pan. Then we'll put it into the pan. It'll swell up with water. And suddenly we're left with this enormous bowl of pasta, which 9 times out of 10, we will just continue to eat anyway. And then wonder why we feel a bit bloated and lethargic afterward. So pasta and rice, two dried handfuls, because remember, they will swell up with water once they're cooked. And then cheese is another one that's interesting. You know, cheese is something that people can eat quite a lot of without realizing it. But cheese should really be a stick-sized portion. That's the equivalent size of your two thumbs put together. So that's almost like a matchbox size portion. Now, there are going to be days when we might go out for dinner, or we might go to somebody's house and they'll have a cheese board, and the likelihood of you having one matchbox size portion of cheese is going to be quite slim. You know, you might have two or three matchboxes. And so it goes back to what I was saying earlier, you know, just be mindful of your nutrition across the week. So if you've had one day perhaps where you've had a cheese board and you've had quite a bit of cheese, perhaps you just rein it back in for the next few days, and then maybe don't have cheese as your source of dairy, and just balance it out across the week. And then potatoes, we touched upon, size of your fist. Nuts would be a small handful. Pulses, I'd say probably two handfuls of pulses. And if we can get into the habit of doing this, the more we do it, the more we can visually see what our portion sizes should look like. And if we can do that, it really does help us to maintain a healthy weight.
What about protein size, Lisa?
Protein size. Thank you for reminding me. I've actually got that on my list. I forgot to mention it. Protein size, I would say the size of your palm. So if you're having a piece of a chicken breast, perhaps, or you're having, you know, maybe a piece of fish, palm-sized piece of protein.
Yeah, definitely. So it's really important that people understand visually how those portions should look. As you mentioned, we don't always want to weigh and measure our food. I know
yes.
I like that. Some people, they get a lot out of it, but let's say most people are in a rush. But if we can learn what should be on the plate, what the colours should look like, what the variety should look like, and what the amount should be, then we are really setting ourselves up to be at optimum nutrition so that our bodies can work really well. And really, that's the goal. You never again have to ask the question, what should I eat? How should I eat? I don't know what to eat, which is how I started the show. And that's what so many people come to me saying. Actually, there's a little roadmap here of what to think about. So it's not hard. We just all need to learn. And I guess the question now is, how do you maintain that in the long term? How do you keep that going? How do you organize yourself so you make sure that you can continue in the medium and long term with these five changes that can make such a difference to your life?
Sure. I mean, I think a lot of it is about your mindset as well. So we need to, sometimes we think that healthy eating is restrictive diet, cutting things out, and it isn't. Now, what we need to be thinking about is that healthy eating isn't about cutting out foods. It's just about swapping it for something that's more nutritious. So if we can be a little bit more mindful about choosing foods that are going to nourish our bodies and think about energy levels, how will this benefit my overall well-being? Do I want that plate of white pasta, or should I actually maybe swap it for red lentil pasta because that's going to keep me fuller for longer? It's got more protein in it. It's one of those sort of complex, high fibrous carbohydrates. So it's good for my gut, good for my microbes. You know, if you can start being a little bit more mindful about your choices, it really does help to motivate you to continue. You know, these little tweaks can make a really big difference. So as I mentioned at the start of the program, start gradually when you're introducing changes. So it might be that you're not having a lot of colour in your diet at the moment. So perhaps for the next couple of weeks, start to introduce more colour. And you'll start to get used to that and then think, actually, now I'm going to think about the sugar. Do that for a couple of weeks. Then move on to thinking about your carbohydrates, taking out the simple, replacing those complex high-fiber carbs, which will naturally then help you to eat more fiber. And one thing I would say with fiber is if you're not currently eating a lot, again, this has to be a gradual thing as well, because quite often people will suddenly say, right, I'm going to do lots of fiber now. I'm going to have my high 30 grams a day of fiber minimum, and then they wonder why they feel a little bit bloated. And the body has to get used to having more of those fibrous foods, learning to digest those fibrous foods. So start gradually and build up until you're more, the body is more used to eating 30 grams of fiber a day if you're not already used to that. So yeah, start gradually. And there's something interesting I read it a few days ago, which is called habit stacking. I don't know if you've come across that, Dora.
Yeah,
and again, that's a nice little trick just to make some of these things more habitual. And when they become ingrained, when they become habit, we're more likely to stick to them for the long term. So habit stacking is where you might do something already every day without really thinking about it, and think about where you could bolt on another habit. So it might be, if you want to increase your water consumption, for example, say you always have a cup of coffee in the morning when you get up. Whenever you have a cup of coffee, have a glass of water with it, and then that will automatically increase your water consumption. Or if you try and get out of the house for 15 minutes a day, just have a walk around the block, particularly if you're working from home, just making sure you have a nice little 15-minute walk outside, make it 20 minutes. And then by the end of the week, you've added an extra 30 minutes or just over 30 minutes of activity onto your weekly movement. So it's just about looking at something you already do and bolting on a habit. So if you have a habit, if you like pasta and you have a plate of pasta, make sure you always have a side salad with it. And by bolting on an extra healthy habit to something that you're already doing, again, it means it becomes more natural to you and it doesn't feel overwhelming.
It just makes it so much easier because you have those little habits already. Most people have breakfast, most people have lunch. So they know every day they're going to have breakfast and they're going to maybe have a coffee. I'm not saying that's good or bad. As you say, have the water alongside, maybe have the water first. And even later on, if you're getting really sophisticated, you say, well, now after I've done the water before my coffee for a few weeks, I'm going to add some fresh lemon to the water. That makes it even better.
Even better. Exactly. You know, and you can and just gradually build these little things up.
Yeah. So
and as a general rule, and I would say I tend to live by this as well, because after all, food is lovely and life is for enjoying. And there's no better thing is than gathering with friends and family and sharing a nice meal together. I think what is sustainable in the long term is living by the 80-20 rule. So, you know, 80% of the time you're eating well, you're eating healthily, you're making these mindful choices. 20% of the time, relax a little. So if you are going to somebody's house or to a restaurant and they serve up the cheese board, don't worry too much about having just having one matchbox size portion of cheese. Have a couple, but just then rein it back in again. And that kind of 80-20 balance is sustainable for most people, because if we do that, it means we're allowing ourselves to enjoy the nice foods from time to time, but we're also mindful that most of the time we want to be making healthy choices to nourish our bodies. And that's much more sustainable over the long term, because we're not feeling like we're depriving ourselves of anything.
Yeah, it's been wonderful talking to you, Lissa. We've been talking about the 5 easy diet changes that can make a difference with Lissa Leader.
So Lissa, it's been great to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on UK Health Radio on the Nutrition for Me show. I know you mentioned your group program. Just remind our listeners again when it's starting and how they can join.
So yes, it's starting on Monday, the 20th of October. And if anyone wants to join me, they can head to my website for more information, which is nutrileader.co.uk/energy21. Or they can email me directly, lissa@nutrileader.co.uk.
You can find her on LinkedIn. You can also follow her on Instagram at NutriLeader, or drop her a line if you're interested in her nutritional services. Her email is lissa@nutrileader.co.uk. And listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Join us again next week on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show's sponsor. Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to a restful sleep, kids' health to active aging. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 15 to see what feeling super is all about. And until next week, thank you, listeners, and goodbye.